Ariel Helwani's MMA show is presented by Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit.
Hello, friends. It's Ariel Helwani. Welcome back to a brand new episode of DC and Helwani. We got a fun one lined up for all of you. A lot to discuss, as always. But before we begin today's episode of DC and Helwani, the best damn podcast on the planet, as you already know, let me tell you about another great podcast that's out there. ESPN Daily. They do a great job, as you probably know as well. And if you haven't been following, they're giving some love to the MMA world these days. I was on 2 weeks ago, and on Monday's episode, the great Mina Kimes talks to Devin Gordon, who tells the incredible story of how Bruce Buffer, yes, the UFC's Bruce Buffer, how he met his older brother, Michael Buffer. And they met much later in life. You know Michael, right? Let's get ready to rumble. It's basically Let's Get Ready to Rumble meets It's Time. It's an amazing story. And if you're not familiar with it, I strongly suggest you check out Monday's edition of ESPN Daily, which of course you can find wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show.
Back in your life on this Monday, April 13th, 2020. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new episode of DC and Helwani, presented by our good friends over at Modelo. Rude for those with a fighting spirit. Hope you're doing well. I am, of course, Helwani. That is DC. This is DC and Helwani, Ariel Helwani, Daniel Cormier. We got a lot to discuss, DC. There's a lot going on. As always, first off, how are you doing on this Monday?
Doing pretty good, man. My sinuses are acting crazy this morning, so I've been having a lot of sneeze attacks. Don't say oh, like don't imply that I have the coronavirus. Don't try to imply that I might be sick. It's just my sinuses, my allergies are going crazy this morning, so I'm dealing with all that. But outside of that, pretty good, man. How about you? How was Easter? How was the holiday? I understand. I'm just saying, how was the holiday?
Yes, because my people celebrate
you don't celebrate Easter, but I understand once I said Merry Christmas to you and you just had you blew up. You lost your damn mind. I don't understand. Don't start with your guy Merry Christmas.
You know? It was good. Thank you for asking. It is Passover for the
Passover. Yeah, that's right. I mean, I said it. I told you happy. I said, you know, happy Passover. And then you act like I said something wrong when I told it to you over the phone.
No. I was actually surprised that you knew it was Passover, because it's always typically about you, too. It's going well. You know, Passover, we can't have bread, so we have to have these cracker things called matzah, so it's very tough, especially in
I know what matzah is. Matzah ball.
That's right. Have you ever had matzah ball soup?
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. A little bland. It's a little
bland. When did you have it?
I've been to New York before, but, like, hey, I am well-traveled. I'm a well-traveled gentleman. But no,
oh, my God.
I'm in New York. I just get matzo ball soup. They say it tastes good. It's just like a round piece of dough or something, though.
Yeah. It's tremendous, right?
Well, it's not. I wouldn't say tremendous. I would say gumbo is tremendous. I like red beans and rice are tremendous. Fried chicken's tremendous. Matzo ball soup's good. You know, like cold New York day. You know, need something to warm you up a little bit and have some soup and then get going. But I would not call it tremendous.
It's not just about the soup, of course, because like there's an actual flatbread. But I have to say, I've always been very jealous of your holidays. Like I don't even know what Easter. I mean, I know about He Has Risen and all that stuff, but the chocolate eggs and the bunny. It just seems like a great time. If I'm being honest, so I've never had to actually celebrate it.
You know what's so crazy about that is that yesterday I took my kids and I read them. You know, the meaning of Easter, the true meaning, right? Not just the eggs and the Easter egg hunt and everything. And they sat there very intent and listened. But most people don't know what you know. It's so crazy. They these holidays are essentially times to party. They forget the true meaning of these holidays. So you got to really make sure you keep in touch with what things really mean.
Did you have a lot of chocolate? Is that like part of the custom?
My kids had a lot of chocolate. No, I didn't have much. We had a lot of good food, but not a lot of chocolate. I'm not a big chocolate guy, man. I'd rather some food. Like, I'm not a big chocolate guy, not a big breakfast guy. Like, I'd rather wait. I don't eat breakfast ever. Wait until 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon so I can have, like, a real meal. That's why I look.
Then you go ham.
Like I look. I go insane. Like, I barely eat, but when I do eat, it's insane.
I bothered you yesterday in the afternoon, and you said you had to call me back. You sent me straight to VM because you said you were having Easter lunch. What is Easter lunch?
Well, it's just, you know, in the middle of the day, you eat. It's like Thanksgiving. It's okay. Like every holiday, we eat, like we get together as a family, and we eat. And we were having turkey, ham, which is – you want to talk about some – you've never had ham, have you?
No, I've had pepperoni pizza, but I've never had ham.
Well, you've never had ham? Like, you have no idea what you're missing. But a good honey baked ham is the best thing in the world. Dirty rice.
And what's dirty rice?
It's from Louisiana. It's and I make some of the best in the world. And then my kids like potatoes, so they had roasted potatoes and salad, which I did not partake in the salad portion.
But what makes the rice dirty? Like, what is in it?
Oh, it's like this mixture of roux, turkey, or ground beef.
Wow.
And then you take liver. Okay, I know liver, and it just finely cut. Mix it all, cook it. Once it makes this thing, you take the rice and then you combine it, and you just it turns brown. It's like, and there's onion and garlic and bell pepper, and then it's just the most amazing thing in the world. What did you guys do yesterday?
Nothing, because it wasn't a holiday for us.
What did you guys do yesterday on a Sunday? Do you guys have a family? Do you guys eat, did you sit at a table and have dinner?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I have three kids under the age of seven, so there's not exactly a lot of sitting, as you well know. But no, I mean, Passover, the real days of Passover were a couple of days ago, Wednesday night.
What did you guys do?
You read out of a book. It's like a whole thing. You got to read. You got to do this whole kind of custom. I tried to do it with my family via Zoom. Didn't really work out. There was a lot of talking and yelling and things like that. But it was the thought that counts. Speaking of which, the thought, we've been going – now for I think 5 or so minutes. How many times do you think the intro song has played? Because I can't hear. We'll last week we had like 36 times. What was going on there?
I don't know, man. Hey, you know, it's so crazy because there are times where, you know, dude starts, he freaks out, you know? He freaks out when we start to go long. When we start to go long, Jake freaks out. Jake's pressing the stop button. He cut, rap. But you can't rap the intro song, Jake.
I mean, replayed it over.
It's like, you got, hey, just stop the entrance music, man. You don't let it play the whole time. I couldn't believe it. I was so embarrassed. People were like, and this entrance music is killing me. And I wish I could give out Jake's phone number like Paige Van Zandt did, because everybody could call him and complain.
What? Paige Van Zandt gave out whose phone number? Jake's?
Her own. Did you not see that? She gave out her own phone number.
Why?
Because there's a new app where you can like text message people.
Oh, that's not a real phone number. No way.
It's a real phone number, Ariel. Or.
How do you know?
Yes.
Yes.
No, I didn't say that. Yes.
I'm just kidding. That would be hilarious. Hey, Paige. Listen. Are you up?
That's not good. That's not good. When people text girls stuff like that, that's not good.
But thankfully, go ahead.
So did everybody sit there like penis pics? I swear.
Stop. No, I didn't see this. It was wet. Let's move along. I want this show to last, DC. I want the show to last.
No, I'm just being honest, man.
She shouldn't have sent out her phone number then.
That's
no one should. In these trying times.
There's a few people doing this, though. There's a few people that are doing this app thing.
Well, hopefully the theme song isn't playing a million times here. We have a lot to discuss, believe it or not, because everyone is on hiatus, right? The entire sports world is shut down, but the world of UFC, I mean, last week was just a dizzying week. And almost like an hour after we stopped the show, when we ended, everything went, like, they announced Gaethje versus Ferguson as being official. They announced the full card. You started to get to work. So tell me this, because I'm curious from your perspective. We said goodbye. Uh-huh. Can you take us through the next few days for you? Because, correct me if I'm wrong, you were actually tapped to work the show, right, as an analyst. Tell us everything that what went down.
So it's a whirlwind, right, Ariel? Like, you, when it starts to come together, you get a call from the company saying, you know, here's one thing that you guys that aren't really like into, you know, when they ask you to work the show, it's like, do you want to work? There is no wrong answer. You understand what I mean? Like, there's no wrong answer. You can say yes, you can say no. You can say no, and nothing's going to bother what you got going. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing, you can do whatever you want. Like, we're just asking. And I said, yeah, I want to fight. I want to go to the fight. Actually, you know, this was before the Dominic Cruz thing came out, right? Like, before Dominic was going to fight for the title or something. And so it was like, he may work, but if this, you know, thing, if he fights, then there'll be an opening. Would you want it? Yeah, I want it. You know, so they called me, told me the procedures in terms of what was going to happen. You know, I'm a guy that when I go places, generally I'm like not by myself, or somebody goes, I got friends and I take them to the fights. And, you know, if I got a friend in the town that we're fighting, I invite him to the fight. You know, and being in California, one of the biggest worries for me was no one can go with you. Like, nobody. He said, DC, you got to come along. You're going to check into the hotel. They're going to screen you and make sure you're okay. Do everything. And then you're going to go into the arena, call the fights, and then you're going to leave. But I mean, in terms of what they were going to do to try and protect us, it was crazy because Rogan, myself, and Anik, you know how the octagon has 8 sides. We would each be on a different side of the octagon. Just to make sure we're social distancing away from each other. I mean, by the time I was done with this conversation, I felt like I was almost safer at the event than I am anywhere else. Because it's only people that are okay. It's only people that are okay. We're all away from each other. And then you go and get paid and you're there for a day. I could have drove up Friday, Saturday morning, called the fights, drove home Saturday night. It's like, It was perfect for me.
So was that your plan? Because, yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, like Lemoore is what, like 2.5 hours from you?
2.5 hours from me.
Have you ever been to the Tachi Palace?
I can't say I've never been to Tachi Palace, but I know some people have. My friend, right. You know, my boxing coach, Rudy Cruz, he coaches guys that fight at Tachi Palace fights, and, you know, they have fights there, but I've never been.
Okay, so you were just going to drive in that day and then drive back home?
Drive in, check into the hotel, get my stuff checked, and then go call the fights, come back. I mean, we were going to have nothing. We weren't going to have a makeup person. We all had our own locker rooms. Like, it was just going to be, okay, time to go to the octagon, call those fights, time to go back. It felt like they had taken the right steps to ensure everybody was going to be okay.
Did you or your wife have any reservations about doing this?
No, not us. We didn't. She asked me, and she was like, when I told her I was going to go do the fights, she was like, okay, so what's the plan? How's it going to work? I was like, I'm in my truck, right? I'm in my truck. I walk out of my truck into this place, get screened and everything, go to the fights, come home. It's like, I'm not going really around anybody because everybody feels the same, you know, like if you're an extremely paranoid person like that doesn't want you to come in contact with anyone, everybody feels the exact same way. It's not like this other person just, okay, wants to hug on you and stuff, maybe fans, like, but nobody wants to be in contact right now. Everybody's afraid. I couldn't walk up to Zach Candido or, you know, and give Zach a big hug right now because he's probably going to be like, you know, the elbow. You can't walk up to – John Anik won't run up to me when he gets off his plane from Florida to California and give me a big old hug, right? Because he's aware and knows that he just flew over. You know, it's like everybody is looking out for the better of each other, especially as friends.
By the way, I like how you mentioned Zach Candido. Like, he's just a household name with all due respect.
Like, no, he's my buddy. Like, I'm saying Zach Candido, you know, he's the coordinating producer for the UFC.
Knows who Zach Candido is?
Well, I'm talking to you, right?
Yeah,
you
I'm
know who
saying.
Zach Candido is, right?
We have an audience.
But I'm talking to you, right? I'm not going to talk – or even Dana, right? So I'm not going to go to Dana White and give him a big hug right now. You know, everybody's going to kind of be aware of what's going on.
And then you did all the like the promos for it, right? Like the sit down interviews, breaking down the big fights.
I did
and all
some
that.
Promos. Did all yeah, that? Man, I got called, and this is the crazy. So they sent a guy into Gilroy to do my stuff. Well, I moved in December, I think. So my old house is empty. So what I did was I told the guy, I said, go, I'm going to let you in, right? Stay in your car while I go and open the door. Seriously, I go, stay in your car. I'll open the door. And then when I leave, you can go up, set your cameras and everything. Tell me when you're done. Okay. When you're done, stand behind the camera, right? I'll walk into the room, sit, mic myself up. I'll do the interview. Once I'm done, I'll leave. And then when you're done taking all your stuff, I'll call me. I'll go lock up my house. Like, we never came in contact, me and the guy. And I felt terrible. He's like, you feel so rude, but it's like, what else? Right. But it's like, yeah, that's what we did. Like, I walked upstairs, went into the room. I sat on that thing. I broke down the fights. And I left. Dude, I took all this stuff away because I told him he can only come alone. But it's like, even in that situation, right, he's more scared of me than I am of him. I'm watching him. He's got his mask. Like, dude looks terrified to be doing his job, but he does his job, right? He had been in 14-day quarantine, so I did that. I went home. So now the fights are on, right? I'm excited. I'm like, we're going to go watch some fights. You know, something normal. And then a couple days later, the governor's like, yo, no fights, and it's off again, you know? So it was an uphill battle. It was almost there, but it just didn't work out.
That reminds me of when I'm walking around my block. Like, I don't really go very far. I haven't left my house to go anywhere since March 11th. I'm very proud of this. But I go around the block, and it's almost like a game of chicken when someone's walking down, who moves first? And I actually get a little offended, if I'm being honest, if they move first. Like, what is it about me? You know what I mean? But for some reason, I don't feel that way if I move first. You know what I'm saying?
Well, because you're Ariel, right? You think – well, because here's what you think, right? I'm going to be honest with you. This is what you think. And okay. Tell me if you agree or not. You haven't gone anywhere since March 11th. What if they have, right? Like, is that what you're feeling? Like, I know that I haven't gone anywhere for over a month.
What That's if not true. To,
no, I'm saying you.
Oh,
you
yeah. Like, yes.
Know, you have not gone anywhere for over a month. What if they've gone to the grocery store? Now, all that time that you spent at home, it's for nothing, right? Because now I came in contact with this person.
Right. I start, really? The clock starts back at zero.
It starts back at zero. It's like, it's a weird thing. Like, I mean, I wish this thing hurry up and be over. Get back to normal. Bro. I'm like,
you and the rest of the world. Now, in the midst of all of this, Dana also started talking about his fight island. Right? Which I think got people got confused thinking that 249 was going to happen on an island, all this stuff and more. What do you make of this idea?
All right. So here's the thing, right? So like when you talk to me about Dana White and Dana White, I like Dana White a lot, right? So I don't disagree with what he's doing. And I mean, I feel like I want fights. Like I really do. So to watch him put all this effort into trying to make it happen, it's a little crazy, but it's like, it's what needs to happen. Like everybody, like we're all kind of like just waiting, you know, like nobody really knows what to do. And somebody has to show that there's a way to get going again. Maybe, is it going to be Vince McMahon? Right. Cause tonight WWE's filming a live tape. They're back filming live.
Crazy, right? Like, isn't that wild? How could they do this? They just announced over the weekend that one of their non wrestlers, but an on-camera person tested positive. How could they do this?
That's what I'm saying. But like, somebody has to like do something in terms of, I mean, the NBA wants to get going. You know, baseball wants to get going. Everybody wants to get going, but everybody's just kind of waiting and is so afraid to kind of jump that we're just all standing still. And I think the UFC tried, and I honestly think that it would have worked. If the fight went on last week, it would have worked.
But here's the thing. The last UFC was a month ago. So it's not like there hasn't been an off season, quote unquote, in the UFC in well over a decade, right? Because they run so many shows. It's okay. We could be okay for a month or two. Like it's better to be safe than sorry, right? It's better to err on the side of caution than to rush back, right?
Of course. Yeah, I understand that. But so you're telling me, right? Like, so you're telling me that when this is all happening, right, you see that the fights are on. Like, this somehow disappoints? This disappoints you?
No, it doesn't disappoint, but you want to make sure, you know, once I found out that everyone was going to get tested beforehand. Yeah. Look, I already said that I think once Khabib fell out, they should have just said, all right, we'll lift the fight another day. Let's do things the right way. Let's wait, all that stuff. And once they were so secretive about the location and all that. But here's what I think. Like, I don't necessarily think there's any bad person in all this. I don't think there's an evil person in all of this. I was conflicted emotionally because I love the sport. I love the fighters. I love the fact that they're able to get paid. I did think it was too soon. And once the main event wasn't happening, I felt like, all right, let's just take our ball, go home, and we'll wait till this all settles up because the fight that we all want to see was Khabib versus Ferguson. I thought everyone was losing their minds. Like, I don't know if you paid attention to any of this stuff, but on Thursday, once the news officially came out that it was off, I tweeted one thing, walked away, put my phone away, because I just saw managers blaming the media for this falling through. I saw it was like total madness. Everyone, and I understand it's a stressful time, but everyone was just losing their mind. I just wanted none of it.
So when did that happen, right? Like, because I don't get the connection. That's one place where I'm kind of lost in this whole thing. I don't know where that happened, right? With the media thing now. I don't know if you guys have been trying to spin it in a way that the fight shouldn't be happening, but I'm telling you right now, everybody's mad at the media. I don't know what you guys did. What did you guys do?
I mean, the media as a whole, a lot of people were talking about how it wasn't safe and how they should rethink it and how they should wait and things like that. And there were some people, managers and fighters and fans, who felt like the media was openly campaigning against the fights. I didn't take it that way. I just think that, you know, some people were being a little more vocal, but it was all very sensible and it was all coming from a good place. Like, listen, the media had nothing to do with this. People were going to find out where, like, I saw one manager was saying, you know, was telling the guy who broke, Jeff Sherwood, legend of MMA media, the guy who founded Sherdog, one manager reached out to him and said, I hope you're happy now after this happened. It's like, Jeff Sherwood wasn't trying to get this thing canceled. And you think if the fighters started to go, like, if the fighters were traveling this week to Lemoore, California, all of them were getting their flights, you don't think people would have found out where this fight was happening? Like, come on. That's silly.
Well, I mean,
the governor wasn't reading Jeff Sherwood's, you know, Twitter account or anything like that. Like, of course, you know, like, I get it. It's an emotional time. It's a stressful time. That's why I say there's no bad people. But everyone needs to chill on this whole idea that the media are the ones who ruined this.
But here's the thing, right? And I've seen this, right? And I don't know where it comes from, but people are much more vocal now than they were 2 months ago, right? Because now it's like everybody has a real strong opinion on what the UFC is doing. When in reality, the fighters want to fight, right? Their corners and trainers are willing to train and travel with them, right? They're all adults. Because here's the deal. Like, I truly believe that at a point, I don't know if there's going to be a magic cure to the coronavirus. And if we get down the line 6 months from now, right, and we can't find a vaccine that is safe and everybody's like okay with it, you're going to have to almost be like, I'm going to get a really, really bad flu. Like, is what, to my understanding, is what it is, unless you're an older person, have some health issues, get really sick, and then just kind of have to deal with it as we deal with a lot of other things that we don't take the vaccines for in this day and age, you know? So I don't know, man. I think everybody has a real strong opinion, and I don't believe any of us are as educated as we want to feel in terms of this thing. Like, so
we're not.
Like, that's what I'm saying. So it's like,
that's why it's better to stay home, right? That's why it's better for now. Let cooler heads prevail. Here's the thing. If there is no MMA, if there is no UFC, media doesn't have a job. Like, it would be foolish for the media to root against the idea of fights happening, right? It'd be foolish for us to ask fighters to stay home and not make, like, I just think everyone just needs to take a deep breath. Be with your family, stay home. And the trends are starting to show that slowly but surely, while it's been, you know, it's been just like a nightmare over the last month or so, that there are some positive trends, right? That numbers are starting to go a little bit down. So let's just take a deep breath. That's all I'm saying.
But then ultimately the fighters are upset because they, you know, hey, Eric, not all the fighters have enough money to sit on their butts.
I feel for them.
No, and it's like, what are you supposed to do? But then I see people say stuff like, well, Dana White should give these fighters money. Dude, that's 500 and something people, right? So you're just supposed to compensate everybody. That's crazy. Like, I mean, I got offered, one of my sponsors asked me about taking a month off or two of pay so that they didn't have to lay people off. I said, I'm all for it, right? Like, I'm all for it. I'm comfortable. But there are some guys that check for them needs to come, right? So it's like, but for, you want the UFC to now pay, take care of all these guys in this time, not me, not Jones, not Connor, not Khabib, not those guys, right? But all these other dudes that are making, you know, 40 grand, 3-4 times a year, 35, 40, you know, those types of money, those types of dollars multiple times a year. Now you have to take care of all those people. That's not fair to the company, because again, they're paying out money that they're not bringing in, because it all works together, man. You get the licensing fees, and boxing is licensing fees or whatever from ESPN and the pay-per-view and everything else. You pay the fighters, you move forward. It's like a good, it's like a well-oiled machine that's not, there's a hitch in it, because nobody can make money to pay out money. But because if we start paying everybody, say you take a guy that made 100 grand last year, right? A fighter that made 100,000, and you just kind of, as fighters, I'm going to give you, in the fighter's mind, you always feel like the money won't stop. You know what I'm saying? It's like, even if you start losing all your money, you're going to have another fight. When I fought Bigfoot Silva, the first time I fought Jeff Munson, I made $40,000. It's the first time I made like good money. 40 grand, that was in June. By September, I had $6,000, because I had never made a lot of money before. So Selena and I, who had went from being completely broke to having a little bit of money in the bank, we spent it and we spent it and we spent it. So then when we got to Bigfoot Silva, I had to fight and I made $100,000, right? And I was like, now I'm making money. But if when came April, when I fought Josh Barnett the next year, that money was starting to go down, because I had never had that money and I never anticipated that I wouldn't just fight again. So it's like, that's what fighters do. And if you can't fight, you don't make any money. But ultimately, the company's not making any money either. You know, so it has to kind of go hand in hand, and everything's got to work like a wheel. You know, I remember when Bellator canceled that fight. Remember that? Everybody was like, Scott Coker paid everybody. And I love Scott. I mean, Scott Coker gave me my chance from day one. He's the man, and I'm sure he paid everybody. But the UFC does it all the time. It's like they just don't – the UFC does it all the time. And, you know, it wasn't Scott just like pumping his own, going, I paid you. He said, I'll compensate my guys, because that's what Scott does. He's a great guy. But the UFC does this all the time. They just don't say it. And everybody wants to paint the UFC as the big bad guy. But they're not. They take care of their guys, man, better than most people think.
Well, in the end, it didn't come down to the UFC's decision. As Dana White told Brett Okamoto, it was the top execs at Disney and ESPN who told them to, quote unquote, stand down. So he said, being the good partner that I am, and of course being in business with ESPN and Disney, he decided to do so. So right now, you know, everything is on hiatus, suspended indefinitely, if you will. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't know when it's coming back. Although, by the way, some managers have been told, circle the date May 16th on your calendar. And they're hoping that Nevada will be up and running by then. Is that ambitious? I don't know. But, you know, once they do get up and running, here's my prediction. Nothing. It's not going to be like back to normal. It's not going to be like, all right, this day, pick this day on the calendar, back to normal. I suspect the Apex will serve as a great benefit for them, because it will help them ease their way back into it. And I suspect Dana's very adamant about the fact that he wants to put on 42 events in 2020. That's what they're contracted to, that they might do weeks where it's like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and they'll use the Apex to run some of these multiple events, right? They'll use the Apex as a way to ease into it, even if there are no fans there. So it's going to be a big value for them.
And Aaron, that's how WWE is able to operate, right? They have their own arena.
Yeah.
And Dana has his own, UFC has his own arena. And right now, it's just a matter of when Nevada is going to open up. And as soon as they do, I think the UFC is off and running, you know, and I'm going to, and with my kids being in homeschool, you know, with me being a guy that wants to work, with my kids being in homeschool, if Nevada's open and I get my fight date on the books, I'm going to take my family, I'm going to take my training team, I'm going to get a place in Vegas, and I'm going to train and prepare and work those shows on the weekend or whenever the fights are. If that becomes an option, I'm going to take my family and my training team. We're going to jump on a car or a van or something. We're going to drive to Vegas for the place, and then we'll start preparing for the fight and also working those fights at the Apex. People want to work, Ariel, and everybody does, you know, from the UFC people, the fighters, to just everybody around the country, you know, and people want to get back to work.
Have they talked to you about this yet?
No, this is my idea solely. Oh. You know, if this happens, if the Apex becomes a thing, And look, for me, if the fights begin, then my fight is going to happen. You understand? Like, if the moment they start, my fight is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Because our date was far away enough to where they'll start playing catch up, and then we'll be back to my fight getting ready to happen. But if California's still locked down as it is today and you can't open non-essential businesses and Vegas does, then I'm going out to Vegas with my team and my family, and we're going to go and get ready to fight and also go to the Apex every weekend and call a fight. You know, so, yeah, I'd be all in for it.
No sane-minded person is hoping that the UFC doesn't make money, that fighters don't make money, etc. But I'll also say this. Everyone wants to make money right now. Like, I don't think anyone should be above that, right? So my 75-year-old dad wants to go to his office as well. He can't. So I feel for the fighters, but also let's take a step back. Like, no one should be above the law. No one should be above the rules. Just because you provide entertainment doesn't mean that you should get a free pass and, you know, go out there and do things that are being told to the rest of us not to do. That's all.
I just thought that in California was going to be very difficult because California has done a – I think Governor Newsom has done a fantastic job of really leading the charge and trying to fight this coronavirus, right? We've been stay at home for almost a month now. And everything they did, and they were at the forefront of it. So to think that the fight was going to happen in California, I always thought it would be difficult.
I want to ask you one more thing about this, but before I do, let me tell you, DC.
is it time?
About our good friends over at Modelo. Yes, we love Modelo, right? Modelo Espacial. What a great company this is, DC. Sit back and relax as I tell you about our good friends over at Modelo. They are brewed for those with a fighting spirit, DC. Modelo is the official beer of the Ultimate Fighting Championship and partners with the likes of UFC double champ Amanda Nunes. The fighting spirit, DC, you know all about it. It means never giving up, even when the odds are against you. Great beers are like great fighters, DC. It doesn't matter where you come from. You may come from Louisiana, Lafayette to be exact. You may come from Stillwater. You may come from Gilroy, California. It matters what you're made of. Modelo has been the gold standard since 1925. Modelo is a crisp Pilsner-style lager, my favorite, that set the standard for authentic Mexican beer. Modelo uses premium hops to give the golden lager its crisp. And is there a better word in the dictionary than crisp? I don't know. Crisp taste. So the next time you're watching a UFC fight or just lounging around at home, whether it's live or a rerun, as we get these days, make sure you've got the beer that's always in your corner, Modelo. Brewed for those with a fighting spirit. And I want to remind you, DC, drink responsibly, and that this beer is imported by Crown Imports in Chicago, Illinois. Thank you very much to Modelo. Please support them because they support us. Now, one last thing on all of this, DC. Did you talk to your friend Khabib? Because I feel like he was vindicated in all of this, right? He was, everyone was crapping all over him, and now in the end, nothing happened. So did you talk to him?
I haven't spoken to him since.
Come on. What kind of a friend are you, DC? You should have called him up and said, don't feel so bad now. You were right.
You know, man, but I think that I don't know if he wanted to be right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure he didn't want to be right. You know, so I don't know if Khabib finds, any joy in the fact that no one's fighting, but I think if he is right, he fell backwards into being right, right? Because he chased the fight. Dude chased the fight and ended up being right. So if Khabib just made a decision to go home and be with his family, then okay, yeah, you know, pat on the back. But he chased the fight. The fight wasn't where it was supposed to be. I bet when they started announcing Lemoore, California, he was probably really mad that he loved San Jose, right? So, yeah, man, I haven't spoken to him. But I don't know if he would even feel like, oh, man, I was right. I told you so. You know, I don't think he's one of those guys.
All right. So let's move off of this because, we'll have a lot to talk about as the plans come together.
Are we going to talk about Ronda?
Oh, that was next.
Is that what we're going
to
do?
I've been itching to talk about this.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
All right. When you see this pop up on your news feed, Ronda Rousey goes off on WWE, right?
Yes.
Ronda Rousey says that it's fake and all this other stuff. What's your immediate thought as a guy that's watched it, that's followed it, that's seen Ronda's career play through the UFC and WWE? Like, what do you immediately think watching it? Because I know what I feel. But I
want me to answer first or you?
You go ahead.
My immediate reaction is a mix between that emoji with the eyes going up and And I also am reminded of the great Sean Waltman, aka X-Pac. There's two kinds of heat in this business, DC. Mm-hmm. There's the good kind of heat and the bad kind of heat. The good kind of heat is like the Rock, the corporate Rock back in the day, right? People want to boo you. People want to see you. They want to almost cheer for you because you're the bad guy. And then there's the bad kind of heat, the change the channel kind of heat. Mm-hmm. There's that kind of heat that no one likes. And I feel like Ronda Rousey, let me be very clear right here now. Ronda Rousey has X-Pac heat. She's got the bad kind of heat. We could debate all day long, and we're about to do so, whether this was a work or whether this was a shoot. But let me just give people the actual quotes here because it's important to actually hear them. This is her telling our good friend Steve-O on his podcast, Wild Ride, quote, "What am I doing it for if I'm not being able to spend my time and energy on my family, but instead spending my time and my energy on a bunch of expletive, ungrateful fans that don't even appreciate me? I wasn't even home when I was home. I was basically just trying to recover enough to be able to put the next stint of being gone. People think you're only wrestling as much as they see you on TV, but they don't realize that there's three or four more days of live shows during the week. If I looked at all the live shows, I was only home a day and a half a week. It was just not worth it for my family. I love performing. I love the girls. I love being out there. But at the end of the day, I was just like, expletive these fans, dude. My family loves me and they appreciate me, and I want all my energy to go into them. So that was my decision. At the end of the day, it's like, hey, girls, love what you're doing. I'm going to try and take all my momentum and push you guys as far as I can. Fly, little birds, fly. I'm going expletive home. And that was basically it. And then, by the way, on Twitter afterwards, she kept going on and on. But here's where it really started to bother people, DC. It's because she posted something, and I want to read this to you, about anyone who is outraged about me calling pro wrestling fake fights for fun has never been in a real fight. While you all are tiptoeing around bruising some pro wrestlers' huge soft egos, no one is thinking about all the real fighters you're insulting when pretending pro wrestling is somehow on the same level of realism. Yes, I understand wrestling 300 days a year for years on end is incredibly tough on the body and a difficult profession. But you know what would happen if you got in 300 real fights a year? You would be dead. Hashtag kayfabe killer. It goes on and on and on and on. So what is going on? First, she's ripping on the fans. Then she's ripping on pro wrestling. And then people are saying it's a work. I want to know what your take is on all of this because you're a pro wrestling guy and a fighter.
Ronda's right. Here's one thing. Here's where Ronda's right. You can't do 300 fights a year. Right. So obviously, and we all know, you know, it's choreographed. You know, it's choreographed. Obviously, it's very hard in terms of.
Time out. Is this a work or is it a shoot?
Listen. At this point, it's all so blurred. The work and the shoot thing is all so blurred. It's not what it used to be. When somebody would do a shoot interview, it seemed way more real. This seems real because Ronda's good at it, but it's a work. It's obviously a work. But you understand that, like she said, you can't have that many real fights in 1 year. So obviously there is some, you know, obviously we know it's planned out. It's played out. It's a dance. Very taxing, and it hurts on the body. Very physically demanding. But, you know, obviously it's sports entertainment, which is what one of the most genius things Vince came up with, sports entertainment. But here's where I think people are missing it again, a little bit. One, when Ronda Rousey was shown on the Jumbotron in San Francisco, I was in the arena at the Levi Stadium for WrestleMania. Place went mad. She went in there. Rock put her over, flipped Stephanie McMahon. Then she judo throws to Triple H. I mean, she is on fire, right? Fast forward a couple years later, she's in the WWE. On fire, right? Ronda Rousey, we love her, going crazy. This is where WWE fans are different. Like you said, they want to root you because you're the bad guy. So they will elevate somebody to the point where you're the best, right? And you get your main event push, and the moment the company decides you're the person, they turn on you. They did it with Seth Rollins. Bro, Seth Rollins, when Roman Reigns, because they all hated Roman Reigns from the beginning because he was getting pushed as the guy. Seth Rollins became this almost cult figure, right? They all cheered him even though he was the heel. The moment he got the belt and they pushed him, it was like 1 year, 12 months, and all of a sudden, when Seth hits the curtain, they go, boo, it's crazy. Roman Reigns, John Cena, Seth Rollins, like he's doing this Monday Night Messiah thing right now, and it's fantastic. But They want to boo Seth Rollins until they decide. I think fans in the WWE will hijack the show, right? Sometimes they have beach balls and they start yelling so much that the people can't do their promos. And I think Ronda saw what happened to her, because that's the same thing that happened to her, right? Ronda was cheer, cheer, cheer. And for no reason, all of a sudden they're booing her. So now she's capitalizing on that by, oh, you guys want to be, I'll be the bad guy when I do come back and you're really going to hate me. That's what I think is happening right now. And Ronda's brilliant. That's why everybody's so pissed off. I went on MMA Junkie today, Ariel, just to see like the shares of the articles. 700, 500. Conor had 700 shares and Habib had 700 shares, 400 shares here for Ronda Rousey, WWE fan sets, 20,000 shares. Mm. It's like 20,000 shares on Ronda's article bashing on the WWE fans. This is an MMA website. Imagine what the wrestling websites look like. It's genius. It's the oldest trick in the game. And she did it to perfection. And
everybody's playing along. Fans will get people riled up.
But everybody's playing along. Everybody's playing along, right? Alexa Bliss is playing along. Lana's playing along. They're all playing along. Ariel, don't get played. Don't be a noob.
I'm not getting played. But here's the thing. It's bad kind of heat. It's bad heat because guess what? When she first came on the scene as a pro wrestler, and look, I know people are going to be like, oh, you're hating on Ronda because she doesn't talk to you. First of all, I got Ronda her first title shot. She asked me to come on my show and convince Misha Tate to come on as well. In March of 2012, she fought in Strikeforce.
That was that's a big statement. You got her first title.
I got her the first title shot. And here's the thing. Along the way, she turned on a lot of people, all right? There's a lot of people who didn't change along the way, and she did. And that's her prerogative. She could change. But you never change. I'll even say Connor never changed. There's a lot of people who change, and I could talk about some other people who changed as well. And she falls in that category. But hey, more power to you. Go do your thing. Be happy. You want to be a pro wrestler? Great. The problem was when she showed up as a pro wrestler, she was playing pro wrestler, smiling and all this stuff. No. You're playing Ronda Rousey. So she's going to be better off as a heel. This is what I'm saying. Go be the heel. You will be better off as a heel. But all this stuff, this is the bad kind of heat. You're just, it's not good. It's not good right now. This isn't the time to turn on the fans. By the way, leading to what? Are you coming back? Are you coming back anytime?
Yes.
What about the family she was starting and all this stuff? Ronda Rousey versus the fans is the most tired storyline out there. You've been playing this game since you lost to Holly Holm in 2015. The fans didn't make – the fans made you into a superstar. Stop turning on the fans, okay?
Yes.
Stop it. Just because you lost, just because the wrestling thing didn't work out the way you wanted to towards the end, stop blaming the fans.
Ariel, what are you talking about? It worked out. She made it at WrestleMania.
Without
Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks, Bayley, or Alexa Bliss –
Becky Lynch.
Yeah, they're not in the main event of WrestleMania, bro.
Says who?
Because they never.
Do you know about the man?
You love Becky Lynch. I love Becky Lynch too. But hey, the man was gonna be she was gonna be pulling the curtain at WrestleMania. She'd have been on the pay per view portion, but the women.
But here's the problem, DC. Don't rip on the fans and then say kayfabe this. Like, pick a lane. Either rip on the fans like Hulk Hogan did at Bash at the Beach, and then stop talking about being it fake. Like, pick one side.
The problem is, like, so maybe she's having a problem with the reaction that she got, right? Because maybe someone convinced Ronda, this is the way to go. And now she's like, I don't like this. You know what I'm saying? I don't like the way, you know, I don't like this. Everybody's mad at me. But I think it's genius. I think that it's a work, and I think that Ronda, you said it didn't work out the way that she wanted. Of course it did. She main evented WrestleMania, and listen, she's coming back. And what's the difference, Ariel, in the heat? Like, people aren't turning off the TV when Ronda comes on the screen. The people in the arena are going to boo regardless. You hope that the boos are louder. I mean, I just realized as an adult that Ric Flair, for as much as I hated him when I was a kid, he was just doing his job. Like, I literally wanted to throw
stuff at him. But Ric Flair never crapped on the business, right? He never said –
Back then, we were still all under the idea that it was a real fight. Ric Flair didn't have to do that. He didn't have to pull the curtain back. He didn't
Let me ask you this.
The fourth wall, like you call it. He didn't have to show the fourth wall, like you call it. He didn't have to. We all believed it was real.
let me ask you this. After all that, to tweet something like this, good night, rowdy ones and jabroni marks without a life that don't know it's a work when you work a work and work yourself into a shoot, marks. Like, what are you, what is this? What is this? Oh, Did you just read like the Wrestling Observer for the first time and now you think you're cool? Like, what is this? What are we doing?
Or she's performing on a level that we can't even comprehend.
Oh, nonsense.
I mean, what is this? She's so smart. A work is a work turns into a shoot. Like, what does that even mean? maybe she is working on such a high level that you just can't understand it. No, I don't know.
You're giving her too much credit. She's no CM Punk dropping pipe bombs on the world, all right?
And even that, CM Punk walks out, sits on the edge of the stage. That was not a shoot, Ariel. That was, a
shoot.
Work.
It was a shoot. They cut his mic.
It was all a work.
Cabana. Oh, it was great.
It's all a work. It's all a work. Somebody told Ronda Rousey this is the way to come back. And when she walked, when that bad reputation hits the speakers.
It's great. Great walk
she
out.
Walks out, that great place is boo. It's going to be the loudest. She'll never have heard a better sound than when she hits that curtain the next time she walks out. And these fans are all hate. I agree with you.
She'll be better off as a heel. But can you just pick a lane? Just pick a lane. Don't start crapping on people and do the heel turn and then crap on the business and the shoot and the market. It's like, it's all too confusing. Just pick a lane. You're not that good at it. Listen.
She's very good at it. She's a great pro wrestler.
She told us she was taking time off. So did she rethink that? I don't know
what's happening there. I thought that at this point she said she was going to have a family. You would think that, like, you know, they'd be pregnant or something. I don't know what's going on in that deal. I don't know her personal life, but I do know in the wrestling world, she's good, man. She's good as they come.
Yeah, well. All right, so we'll see what happens. She's not coming. I mean, hey, listen, if she shows up today, that might be kind of cool.
You would? Look at it. No. She can't show up in an empty arena. She needs to show up when there are fans for this thing to work. For it to work,
100%.
Yeah, for what she's doing, for the foundation she's laying, she has to be in front of fans. Ariel, think about it. When you just thought about that for a second, you were like, when she comes back,
just pick a lane. That's all, and don't give us X-Pac heat. Yeah, I need to ask you your advice. I need to ask your advice because I feel like I'm being attacked left, right, and center. I woke up today to this tweet from John Jones. I don't know if you're familiar with John Jones.
Again, bro.
So listen. Someone tweets it. He was on like a tweet-a-thon last night, and someone writes to him. The guy's name is My Opinions Don't Matter. He writes, Ariel was saying, because of that nonsense arrest, you won't be called as the GOAT anymore. Any sayings on that, champ? Now, first of all, let me just say before I tell you what John said, I never said that. I said, I don't consider him the greatest of all time because of the PED infractions. Twice. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I actually specifically said that the arrest shouldn't come into the conversation regarding, like, if you want to talk about his athletic accomplishments, the arrest shouldn't come into that conversation.
You're right now, you're answering, you're doing Ronda Rousey. Like, this is why Ronda's so mad at fans, because the guy that, my opinion doesn't matter, he has something to say. So then you want to put him in his place by telling him the right way. Ronda's doing the same thing.
So do you think I should stop this?
I mean, I want you to be Ronda Rousey. I want you to be Ronda. I want you to continue the story and all be right. Ronda. And continue the story.
Here I come. His response. My job is to be one of the most elite level competitors in this planet's history. His job is to score the opportunity to speak to guys like me. He's relevant for talking about people who are talented. Let the man have his fun. How should I take that? He's relevant for talking about people who are talented. Let the man have his fun. How should I take it? I mean, I felt like that was a low blow.
It was, hey, listen. He didn't even just like, you know how Ric Flair used to kind of uppercut him between the legs?
Yeah.
He didn't even do, like, he didn't just like do it with his foot. He like dropped to his knees and punched you with his fist right in the ball. I mean, this dude.
What do I do?
You know,
do I just take it on the chin? I mean, because I feel like I've been very fair to John over the years. Like,
well, you went and walked and talked with him. You've given him a platform to try to explain his actions. I don't understand why he would take someone that, you know, has shown on more times than I'd like to be you know, a John Jones fan, you know, and you know, you've given him the opportunity. The first one was great, right? The first one, he seemed sincere. It was one of his greatest performances. It was one of his greatest performances when you guys walked in the park and remember he had that Afro looking thing and it just, I mean, it was great. I don't know who was behind the camera holding the cue cards, but I mean, he hit every single line, but you gave him that platform. And for him to do that is not fair. But again, it's a fan, right? It's a fan taking something you said out of context. And
I never said that.
You didn't. And I can say that. But that's somebody taking out of context what you said and bringing it to somebody, presenting it to them in the wrong way, and then you get that reaction. You know what I'm saying? So and we don't know what that turns into. But here's the deal. Right. And I think people need to respect this more than they do. You do get to talk to people, but not everybody does. Right. Now that you do get to have those interactions with the fighters and everybody else. You do get to work for ESPN and, you know, everywhere else. You have earned that through hard work. It's just in a different field. I think it's bad when we start to, as fighters, act as if people aren't accomplished because they're not doing it in front of millions of people like we get the chance to. I think you have to respect everybody for the hard work they put to put themselves in position to be where they are. And I'm telling you right now, you know, from, you know, from one guy that cannot be considered in the greatest conversation because of the PEDs, from the actual greatest of all time, Ariel, we appreciate you. Ariel, we appreciate you, dog.
Do you think he said that because we're doing this show? Because he thinks now I'm on your side?
Ariel, hey, let me say this. All right. And pull back that, what'd you call it, the fourth wall?
That fourth wall, yeah.
I'm not sure anybody has ever thought you might not have been on my side.
Stop it. What are you talking about?
I've been very fair to everybody. You've been fair to everybody, but you know, you and I have a pretty good, you know, we've worked together so long, it's hard not to develop some sort of relationship. You had a thing, Connor, you have a little bit of a thing with Connor.
What does a thing mean? Even your boy Khabib turned on me too, right? And I was very good to Khabib. I was very good. There was a time where Khabib was out of action for 2 years. He would come my show all the time. And guess what? People would get mad at me. Stop having this guy on.
I think you had a bit of a thing for Khabib too.
Yeah. But
now you've got
that. What happens? Everyone gets famous and they stab me right in the back.
I think now you have a thing for Khabib because like he's like the guy that doesn't like you. You know, you're like the pretty girl at the prom and there's one dude that don't like you and you can't handle it. So you're like trying to get Khabib back. You want Khabib back? You want him back? I can do it.
It's weird to me that you've never said, you know what? Let me call him up right now and like fix this for you. You know what I mean? You've never even been, I don't want to ask you to do it, but now since we're talking about it, it's weird that you, you know, my two friends here, we're fine. No, I'll fix this. Let me call him up right now and fix this. What do you think?
I just kind of like, I think it's funny a little bit, you know, because like, I don't understand what happened. So I just kind of let you guys fight. You know, like I sit on the outside and, you know, here you
go. I love Khabib.
Listen, just not understand why. Like, nobody understands why.
I had his back when he got played at UFC 205 where they sent him a fake contract. I had his back, and he didn't believe that until after the fact. So, listen, neither here nor there. I love Ronda Rousey, who turned on me, too. I love Jon Jones, who apparently has turned on me. Why are we talking about all the people who turned on me? Darren Till's in the process of turning on me. Did you see me do my thing?
No.
Did you see that?
You look good out there, champ.
Champ, do it again, champ.
Champ, you got to kind of turn those shoulders a little bit, champ. You're giving up way too. Yeah, you got to cut it. Yes, head movement. I mean, your hands, like, stop bending your wrists like this, dude. Like, you can't fight like this. Make a fist.
Have you ever used that ball thing?
It's hard.
It's very hard. Have you ever done one?
I've never done it.
I'm going to send you one.
Hey, Ariel. Look, I'm too old to be adding new things. I gotta just fix this. I just gotta get my elbow down and I'm gonna go do what I've done for 25 fights. You know, like, it ain't gonna change. I can't change much.
By the way, I just wanna say, I'm not trying to be a fighter. I'm trying to give people something to do, be active, be healthy. Well, it's a funny thing.
I think it's good. No, I think you look good. Like, it's slow. It's been slow, but I'm excited to see the progression of you and that thing, you know, like, you know, but you gotta start mixing it up, you know, like, you know, right hand, hook it, boom, boom. I've seen guys throwing whole combinations on that thing, you know, and make sure to bring your hands back to your face. You know,
I had a lot of people. Do you think I could beat Ben Askren?
In striking? You could outstrike Ben Askren?
People have suggested it. People have suggested it.
Hey, listen.
The double jab. The double jab.
I love Ben. I love Ben. He's my boy. But I mean, boy, I don't know. Hey, there was a point. I'm starting to sweat again. There was a point that I was scared. I was like, Ben's about to be a world champion. He was undefeated. He beat Robbie Lawler. And I was like, this dude's going to be a world champion. He don't even know how to fight. Like, Ben never took the time to learn to fight. Dude's about to be a world champ. And I love Ben. He's my boy. But, boy, I tell you, man, Ben was about to become a world champ when I learned how to fight, man. Because when he was out there with Damian Maia, like, I've seen Damian Maia fight for 15 years. I've never seen him outstrike somebody like that. Dude, just outstriking Ben Askren, man.
Why did you help him out?
Nah, man, you don't listen. Ben don't listen to nobody. Ben knows everything. He's one of those guys. Ben knows everything.
Well, he made it pretty far. I think Jake's been hitting me up a lot. Let's see what's going on. Oh, look, 5 unread messages from Jake. He's giving me a round. Oh, by the way, I have to mention this. You're very busy today, DC, as we're rounding third. You are involved in a celebrity Madden tournament.
Yes.
It premieres this Saturday. So you'll be playing your game later today, but it premieres this Saturday on ESPN2, April 19th at 12 p.m. Eastern. And you're going up against Drew Lock in the first round.
I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. I'm playing.
Are you good at Madden?
Listen. I can play offense, right? Because there's this option to play just offense because defense kind of takes long. I don't know how to play defense. And I got to go play a guy that's a professional quarterback that can look at the defenses and just kind of break me out a little bit. So I'm hoping for a little bit of luck. But, you know, there have been a lot of times in my life where I do things and people go, how? You know, like when I kicked that 40-yard field goal at the Saints thing. You remember that? When I made 23-pointers in a row while shooting basketball, while beating Stipe in hockey. But a lot of times people ask, like, how? Like, how did this dude do this? And I'm hoping that this Madden tournament, I can have one more of those oh wow moments because I feel like I'm in trouble. If I get through this Drew Lock, then I'm going to play the winner of Snoop Dogg and Travis Kelce. So, you know,
do you get to talk? How does that work? Do you get to talk to them while you play?
Yeah, I've got a headphone.
You need one of these.
I got a blue one. I got a blue one for PlayStation. PlayStation's blue or Xbox is green. I got the blue one. And
you
know
talk
what?
Smack?
Yes. I'm going to put them in their place because here's the deal. Here's the deal. For, you know, these guys are tough guys. They play football, but at the end of the day, I'll be the toughest guy in this tournament. Yeah, I'm going to be the toughest guy in this tournament, you know, so we'll see what happens, man. I don't anticipate much, but I'm excited to play. You know, I've done a couple of these things. Like, remember I did the celebrity NCAA basketball tournament? I mean, I finished third.
Yeah. I don't remember that.
Remember I told you, I sent you my bracket, ESPN.
The picks. I thought you meant the video game. Right,
I got third. I beat so many NBA players and analysts. I was third in terms of picks on that thing, so I'm pretty good at things like this.
I'm rooting for you. There's 2 MMA fighters in this thing. I think it's 16 celebrities overall, quote unquote. They asked me to be part of it. I'm just too busy.
You
know,
you suck, dude.
Chris Weidman is the other. Chris Weidman.
Oh, he's good.
He's good. Very good.
Weidman's good. Vellante's good too. Mm-hmm. But I beat Vellante. I beat Vellante, so if Vellante's good, you know, I should be okay. We'll see.
I'm rooting for you guys to meet in the finals. That would be great.
Oh, that would be awesome. I don't know if we're going to get that far, but I hope they put me on the easier side of the bracket. That's all I'm asking for, you know. Put me on the easy side. I want to play somebody that don't know what they're doing.
Before we go as well, I understand that you had something that you wanted to say.
Mm-hmm. You know, Ariel, I don't know if I told this publicly, but I told you a story a while back about this family, the Emmerman family, William and Olivia. I was flying down to UFC Tonight once, and this was way back before I became a world champion. And Olivia Emmerman and William were sitting with me on the Southwest flight. I sat right next to him. She started talking to me. She goes, "Are you Daniel Cormier?" And I was, you know, we went back and forth, and she was very sick, Ariel. I mean, 2013, 14. and she was very sick, cancer, stage four. And we started talking, and I told her, I said, Olivia, I said, you fight your fight, and I'll fight my fight, and we'll do this fight together, right? So we exchanged numbers. I said, and I'll become a world champion. I'll win my fight. I'll win all those five-round fights, and you win this fight over cancer. And she fought this thing, Ariel. Every time she got really sick, she beat it back into remission. She would get sick again, beat it back into remission. And over the course of this time, her and her husband became two of the most strong supporters I have. You know, they were at the Jones fight when I lost, in my hotel room comforting me after. They were at the Rumble fight when I became champion. That's where I met their daughter, their daughter and her fiance, who is now her husband, and they have children, her son. I met them all. They were in Buffalo. They were in New York City for Derek Lewis. They couldn't make the one in August because she was sick again. And this morning she finally lost her fight to cancer, and she passed away at 3 o'clock in the morning. But she fought this thing for 6 years. And I want to tell William and the family that we love them and that we're praying for them, and that Olivia was in, she was a motivating factor for me and a lot of people, and very loved, and she's going to be missed. But it was so good to watch her do so well under such extreme circumstances for so long. And I appreciate the love and support that they gave me, and we're going to miss her. And, you know, I told William this in a text message, and I'll say it here because I know they listen to everything. She was a massive fan of yours too, Ariel. Like, she loved MMA. And, I told William that if he needs anything, to reach out to me. So, bad news this morning, you know, but I know that it's good that Olivia is no longer suffering, you know, and she's back to herself. This vibrant, beautiful lady that just inspired people to fight. And, we're going to miss her. So, William, we're playing for you guys, and Olivia was loved. So, you know, we'll keep praying, and hopefully you guys are okay.
I'm very sorry to hear that. You did tell me about meeting them on the plane and how blown away you were by their support over the years and how you became so close to them. It's not often you'll meet someone on the plane who's kind of a fan, but then you mm-hmm. develop like a true friendship with them, right? Mm-hmm. And it breaks through from just being a fan. So I'm really sorry to hear that. And my best to their family as well. Horrible news. And also we got some really bad news last night in the sports media world. I wanted to mention Anthony Fauci, who's a 48-year-old young man living in New York, one of the best New York sports photographers, worked for the New York Post. Sadly, he passed away due to contracting the coronavirus. And I never met him publicly, privately. He was at a lot of UFC events. I saw him there, but because I'm not sitting down low, I don't interact with the photographers as much, but I know he was at the Conor fight back in January. In fact, even took photos of your fight against Derek Lewis. If you go to his Instagram page, AFAUCI, and you scroll down, you'll see a photo of you there that he took of you and Derek Lewis squaring off in a heartbreaking way. His last Instagram post is him with a mask on saying, you know, if I beat this, watch out world, here I come, I'm gonna turn mm-hmm. you upside down. And sadly we found out that he did not beat it last night, and the entire New York sports scene and beyond, everyone talking about him today. Very, very sad. Horrible news.
You know, we're dealing with a tough time right now, man, and to lose people, it's very difficult. But you know, for the people that are suffering and they're gone, even though we may feel this too soon, at least they don't have to suffer anymore. And we have to be thankful for the times that we had with them.
Amen. Man, we're ending this on a real somber note. Last week we were crying from laughter. And this week, sometimes life gets in the way.
Yes, it does. And things change fast, you know, and we're just lucky to be able to honor them with this memory, you know, with this, you know, and their families can go back and look at this if they ever want to hear, you are my thoughts on what these people meant to us and the sports world, you know, so, for Anthony, you know, so it's good.
TC, we're out of time. Who knows what this week will bring, right? Probably a bit of a quieter week as mm-hmm. far as news is concerned, right? As everyone just takes a breather. Last week was just absolutely insane. Come Thursday, yes. I just needed to take a rest. I was like, oh, this is just a lot to handle right now. But we are hoping that everyone continues to be positive and and stays home and listens to the health officials. And just want to say, really appreciate all the great feedback that we've received over the last few weeks. This has turned into the highlight of my week. I really enjoy doing this. I kind of have to wrangle you into doing it every week, and I feel like I'm bothering you and sending me to voicemail and all this stuff. But I enjoy it immensely.
It's been very fun, man. And yeah, people have been enjoying the show, and I hope they just continue to support it, and it just continues to grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger because it's fun. Very fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we're going to carry ESPN sooner rather than later. And by the way, one last thing. Shout out to Anthony Smith for saving his family and protecting his family the way he did. I still can't believe that story.
Did you see the video of that guy at the other guy's house? Dude's on Anthony beat him up pretty good, man. And I read somewhere he got released. They let this guy back onto the street.
No, the guy's dad came in the middle of the night the next day and snuck him out.
Snuck him out of where?
The hospital. He never got arrested.
This dude didn't get arrested for breaking into his house? You're lying.
It's true. He went straight to the hospital because he was beat up so bad. And the dad went in and snuck him out. And last I heard, they don't have him.
Ariel, wait. I thought it said that the guy got out of jail. He's been released from jail.
No, hospital.
He never got arrested. Why?
Because he was beat up. He was in the hospital. It's horrible. Has that ever happened to you, by the way? No one's ever broken into your house, right?
Let me just say this. You don't want to break into my house. You're not getting out of there. I'm still, you're not getting out. And I think I'm fair in saying it. You're not going to get out if you break into my house and threaten my family. So don't break into my house.
All right.
Don't break into my house. So Anthony Smith did what he had to do, but you know, you don't break into somebody's house if you want to go out, whether it's on a stretcher or anything. You're not getting out of my house if you break in.
Why do you think I've been doing this?
Wait, so Anthony Smith, the Anthony Smith story made you start boxing?
It got me thinking.
I've got a little bit of a better idea for you that might actually be better for you. I'm not going to say it here, but I got something a little bit better for you that might protect you because you tried to defend your family with that. Ain't going to get it done. Think about this. The guy Anthony Smith, for as good and strong as he is, as hard as he hit, said he couldn't get the guy down.
I know, crazy.
I mean, that's crazy. So imagine you hit him with your wrist all bent over like this. Dude run right through you.
All right, we're out of time. Much love to Anthony Smith. DC, thank you very much. Thanks to all of you for watching, listening, supporting, downloading, subscribing, reviewing, commenting, all that stuff and more. Much love to Modelo as well. Remember, Modelo Espacial.
Espacial.
Brewed for those with the fighting spirit. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Peace. We're out of here.